Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews 8:1 says, "Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum." Christ Jesus is the sum of the Scriptures. Everything points to our Lord Jesus Christ. "We have such an high priest." This is our relationship unto Him, that He is our high priest. He is our great high priest. And we are those for whom He is in office. He acts in office for us. His priesthood is to deliver us. "Who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens." Now, Brother John Owen said, "His being seated declares His immutable stability in His state and condition wherein He is a priest." Well, that's true. And not only is that true, but it also includes our immutable stability in our state and condition in our great high priest. As long as he said, "As I live, ye shall live also." As long as He is seated at the right hand of the Father, we have an advocate in heaven who takes up our cause and pleads it to the Father. Look at 1 John chapter 2. verse 1. "Little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not." Well, now, we ought not to sin. We ought not to be sinners. But that's who we are. We are sinners in our persons. And sin doesn't happen when I commit the offense. Whatever that offense is, it happens when the thought, when the first movement toward us springs up and comes forth from my evil heart. There is sin. Some folks say, "Well, you have to commit the deed in order for it to know." You just have to have the thought. It comes from an evil heart. It comes from our sin nature, and that is what pollutes us. If we weren't continually washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Little children, I write unto you that you sin not." That we should strive against sin and seek to suppress every imagination of the thoughts of our heart that is evil. "And if any man sin," which we will because we are sinners, "if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." His advocacy is to plead our cause before the holiness and justice of God in order to deliver us from condemnation. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus." Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their sins unto them. There are some men walking around here on top side of this globe to whom God will not impute sin. What a wonderful blessing that is. There, if God will not impute sin to you, you cannot be condemned by God. And the reason is because our Lord Jesus Christ bore in His body our sin on the tree. 1 Peter 1 Peter 2:24. Let me just turn there and read that. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself unto him that judgeth rightly. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. My sins have already been borne before the white hot throne of justice of God, and the complete wrath of God against my sin has been poured out against him who is my great high priest, my surety, and my advocate. He's everything to me. That we, being dead to sins, because crucified with Christ, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Now, Scripture says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Well, how are we to accomplish that? We do not accomplish that. That is accomplished in us by God the Holy Spirit, who dwells in us, who influences our thoughts, our minds, our hearts, our actions daily. And he writes the law of God on our heart, and it becomes, and it is the law of our heart. And therefore, we do what we do according to that nature that we have received of God the Holy Spirit. It's Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. I am crucified with Christ, yet although I live, yet I live, yet not me, but Christ liveth in me. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not obey the flesh. And these two are continually at war with one another, the flesh and the Spirit. Flesh say do one thing, the Spirit say do just the opposite. So that's where our warfare is. But we have an advocate. Now, look here on back at 1 John chapter 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins. Christ Jesus is the satisfaction, the one who made satisfaction for our sins. He is our mercy seat. It is in him that we find mercy before God. He is the mercy seat that covers the broken law. The mercy seat was the lid, if you will, or the top on the Ark of the Covenant wherein the law was. He is a covering of that. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Well, what does he mean, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the... not just for the Jewish nation, not for just the natural seed of Abraham, but for men of all kindreds, nations, tongues, and people. Revelation 5:9. Now let's go back to Hebrews chapter 8. He is seated at the right hand of God. Now look at Hebrews chapter 2. I think I want chapter 4 probably. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15. Now it said in chapter 8 we have such an high priest, And here in chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "Seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Now, the Lord Jesus Christ can sympathize with our weakness, with our temptations, with our sufferings, our sorrows, because he as man has been tempted in all points like as we are, and so he is able to sympathize with us and to be sympathetic to our plight. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So, Christ Jesus understands what it is to hurt, what it is to be in pain, what it is to be grieved, what it is, every suffering, sorrow, temptation, trial that we pass through, he has passed through it before us, and he passed through it because of us in order that he could be a faithful and merciful high priest for us. Verse 2. "Now he is seated at the right hand in the heavens." At the right hand of the majesty in heaven. He's seated on the right hand of God. While he was here on the earth, he was God. He still is God, of course. But he was God manifest in the flesh. He came forth from unsearchable light to present unto us, to declare unto us the mind, will, counsel, purpose of the Father. He came to declare, to show us the Father. "And in that he was the only visible Jehovah." Mm-hmm. "And it is Jehovah himself who is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high in office for us, ministering for us. He is a minister of the sanctuary." He has a ministry in the sanctuary. His ministry there is for us. His ministry there is to act the priest for us, to advocate for us, to plead our cause before God. He is a minister of the sanctuary, and that is the sanctuary that is in heaven above. Look at I think it's 10:21. Yeah. Hebrews 10:21, "And having a high priest over the house of God." That's his church and people. And he exercises his priesthood from the right hand of God, seated right next to him, able to speak to him at any moment for us. "And not only so, but we are a kingdom of priests, and by him we have continual access unto the Father, and we can enter in to his presence at any time to make our wants, desires, our troubles, sorrows, whatever we have, known by him. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not men." Now the true tabernacle is that human nature, that body, that Father prepared for our Lord Jesus Christ. Look back at chapter 10, verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. Now that is the tabernacle that he tabernacled among us in. That's his human nature. Look at John 1:14. John 1:14. It says, and the Word, that is the Son of God, that eternal Spirit, Jehovah the Son, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now the word there, dwelt, is to tabernacle. And the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. He dwelt in that human body when He was with us. And he said to the Jews, and I think it's John 3:19, 2:19, He said, destroy this temple, this tabernacle, and I'll raise it up again in 3 days. They thought He was talking about the natural temple, but He's talking about the temple of His body. And then look at chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Now this tabernacle that he dwelt in for men was greater and more perfect in that it was a perfect sacrifice. The blood of bulls and goats and animals could never put away sin. It was a man who had offended, one of our nature who had offended the holiness of God, and someone in our nature had to make reparation for the offense that we had offered to His holiness. So Christ Jesus took into union with Himself, that is God the Son, took into union with Himself our human nature into indissoluble union. Something that is forever. And in that body, glorified now, He officiates for us as our great high priest. He is a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. It was the Holy Ghost. Look at Luke chapter 1. Verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now that's a wonderful thing. But to His people, when the Holy Ghost enters us, we're just as blessed as Mary was. Of course, we're not going to deliver the Christ child, but we have entered in. God is for us. If God be for us, and He is, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And when she saw Him, she was troubled. And notice that she didn't do anything to receive that. It was a gracious gift, just as eternal life is to each of us who believe. It's by His grace and grace alone. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Every child of the covenant has found favor with God. And it's not a favor on trial. It's not God looking for you to mess up and then going to kick you out. We found favor with God before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
We were chosen in Christ in eternity past, and God set His immutable love upon us and purposed in His heart to bring us to glory. And therefore, in time, He sends the Spirit of truth into our heart, and we are taught the truth, and we know the truth of the gospel when we hear it. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the natural Son of God. He's of the same nature of God. Alright, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 8. A minister of the sanctuary. He has a ministry in glory. He is a minister. Look at Romans 15:8. Now this I say, that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Look at Deuteronomy 28:1. Deuteronomy 28:1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to obey, to observe and do all his commandments, that which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. That's not the verse I was looking for. The verse I was looking for says that he said to Aaron that Aaron was a priest, was a minister, and so Aaron was a type of what the Lord Jesus Christ actually is. And Aaron's clothing was of the same. It was made for beauty and glory and honor to exemplify typically what Christ is actually for us. Verse 3. 4. Now this links these two verses together here. which the Lord pitched and not men. That's the tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not men. For every high priest is ordained to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. Now, a priest has to offer a sacrifice to appease, to propitiate, to placate, to satisfy God's justice and wrath. And it was necessary in the office of priest that the Lord Jesus Christ have an offering. Well, what would he offer? The offering of bulls and goats and so on was not worthy, was not could not put away sin. What he had to offer was that tabernacle that the Lord had pitched for him to dwell in. Look at 10:5, Hebrews 10:5. For the law having a shadow of good things to come. It only exemplified, drew pictures of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices that they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Hebrews 10:1. For then would they not have been ceased to been offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. If those sacrifices had put away sin, there'd never been any more conscience of sin. People's conscience would never again been defiled. But they were defiled every year. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance made of sins every year. If they weren't reminded any other way when they had to offer a sacrifice, they were remembered. They were reminded that their sins remain unput away. The sacrifices themselves were a reminder. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Therefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. Look at chapter 2. Verse 9. And let's begin reading at verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visit him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death. He had to be able to offer a bloody sacrifice. He had to be able to die. God can't die. And a man can't satisfy. But this man, who is God and man in one person, both died and satisfied the justice of God. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste of death for every man. Is not in the original manuscript. That was added. And if you look on down, it's for every son. For everyone who is sanctified, verse 11. For it became him for whom are all things, verse 10. In bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. So it was every son that he was to bring to glory. All right, back to verse 8. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore is our necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. He offered that human nature that God prepared him. For if he were on earth, if he were to minister on earth, he should not be a priest. Seeing there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. Well, now, look at chapter 10, verse 11. Chapter 10, verse 11. For every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Now, this epistle was written before the destruction of Jerusalem in A.D. 70. Most people put it between A.D. 50 and A.D. 67. At that time, the Levitical priesthood was still functioning, although God had vacated it, and they had left God, and God had left them. So it was the religion of the Jews at that time. But our Lord Jesus Christ, being ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, offered himself. Let's look back at chapter 10 again. And let's go back up to verse 5. Wherefore, chapter 10, verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. That is, God took no pleasure in those things, and the reason that he took no pleasure in those things is because they could not deliver his children from sin and death. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God, above when he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest, I get ahead of myself. Above when it saith, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure in them which were offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God, which was to offer himself a sacrifice to God to put away the sin of his people forever. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. The first covenant, the first priesthood, the first sacrifices, the first bloods that were offered to establish that covenant, that blood covenant that was sealed by him offering that tabernacle that the Lord had prepared for him to die in. By the which will? That's by the will of God. We are sanctified, that is, believers are sanctified, set apart, made holy, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for once, and there again, the translators added something that makes it confusing. He only offered himself once. Notice that for all there is in italics. In offering that sacrifice once, he cleansed forever everyone that the Father had given him in eternity past. You know, people think they have an awful time getting God in the mood to save them. That's not the way it is. The Lord comes and seeks and saves his people from their sin. Let's go back now to chapter 8. And I'll wrap this up here very shortly. For if he were, now I'm in verse 4, Hebrews 8, 4. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest. Because at that time there were priests of the Levitical priesthood, who was the priesthood under the law, that were offering sacrifices. Seeing that we have priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and the shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses, when he was admonished of God, when he was about to make the tabernacles, foresee, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern shown unto thee in the mount. So everything under the Old Testament, all the types and shadows were simply that. They were types and shadows, and they all pointed to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who actually did put away sin forever and sanctify his people that were given him in eternity past by the Father. I want to read you one more verse. John chapter 6, verse 37. John chapter 6, verse 37. Our Lord says here, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's just how it is. They're going to come. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. So if we have an interest in the great high priest of the New Testament and in his blood, we're promised not to be cast out. Brother Bart.